3-0 Jacksonville. Kansas City, first down and goal to go up the nine. Mahomes coming to the near side. Pass is caught by Sky Moore. Touchdown, Kansas City. Sky Moore, his first regular season touchdown of his career. 11:42 to go, third quarter. Single back McKinnon in front of Mahomes this time. Snap back to Mahomes, rolls to his right side. Now throws it for Kelce, wide open in the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. The 47th time that Patrick Mahomes has found Travis Kelce in the sweet nectar of the end zone. That's an all-time Kansas City Chiefs record quarterback to a pass catcher. Third down and six for the Chiefs at their own 34-yard line. McKinnon is in the backfield with Mahomes this time. Chiefs are 2-by-2. Kelce back in there. Tight slot right side. Last play before the two-minute warning. Mahomes waiting. Now a late blitzer coming in. Mahomes, he'll launch it down the field. Wide open, caught. Sky Moore 40. Sky Moore 30. One man to beat. 15-yard line. Tackle down at the Jacksonville 12-yard line. Happy birthday, Patrick Mahomes. You're giving us the presents.
And the Chiefs win yesterday. They will not go the season winless, so that's good to know. I was a little bit concerned there after a one-point loss to the Lions. I thought the sky was falling, the earth was going to implode, and the Chiefs would never win again. So I'm so glad that they were able to win yesterday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're going to talk Chiefs football coming up in just a little bit. We'll hear from Andy Reid. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes. And I'll tell you why so many people – I'm going to give you a different take on this game than a lot of people will out there. The easy take on the Chiefs game yesterday is what national people are saying today. And it is they're totally overlooking something that Patrick Mahomes has never had in his NFL career. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. I thought the win was glorious. It was painful to watch, but I still think the win was glorious. And I'll give you so many reasons why the Chiefs and their fans should be way more optimistic than I'm hearing today and after the game yesterday. Just everybody's Debbie Downer all the time. It's like Chiefs fans are so freaking spoiled. You win a game and you're bitching and moaning about how you only won by 8 on the road against a playoff team when you played poorly on one side of the football. And you still won. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, wait, I want to win 51-48. Okay, fine, 51-48, and then you'll lose an AFC title game because your defense can't stop anybody. But whatever. Anyway, we'll talk about that coming up. Also, K-State, a tough way to lose. KU nearly losing to Nevada. And Nebraska got their first win. Colorado stays undefeated. It wasn't easy, and the other coach made a gigantic, colossal coaching mistake, or Colorado might have lost. And Colorado made a gigantic, colossal coaching mistake. Deion Sanders did in overtime, but got away with it. I'll explain that coming up as well. But local sports, there were some good things that happened over the weekend. There was a football game that was played on Saturday. There was volleyball. There was tennis. So I'll hand it over to Dusty.
Yeah, quite a bit of activity over the weekend in the football game kind of added to that. Rock Hill's playing Pike Valley there Friday. It was postponed because of the weather, so they played Saturday. Rock Hill's winning 36-32 in Mankato in their homecoming game. Rock Hill's now 2-1 on the season as Pike Valley dropped to 0-3. For a full look at the Friday night scores and the weekend high school football scores, visit ncksports.com. They're all there and at your fingertips, as always. And you can see all the volleyball scores from this weekend as well. The Republic County Tournament, boy, went 5-0. Won the championship there. They won over Oakley, Washington County, and Hanover in 2 in pool play. They beat Clay Center in 2 in the semis and beat Smith Center in the finals, 25-18 and 23. They went 10-0 in their sets on the day. They didn't drop a set the entire day. They won 17 matches in a row. They're now 19-2 overall. The Lady Trojans having an outstanding season here. Haven't lost since that first tournament the last weekend of August, the first weekend of the season there in Hayes. So, again, Beloit on a roll right now. Smith Center, that was their first loss of the season to Beloit there in that championship match. They're now 10-1 on the year. They went 4-1 and beat Republic County and Lakeside and Clay Center in pool play and beat Hanover in 2 in the semis and then, again, went on to lose to Beloit in 2 in the championship match. Lakeside went 1-4 on the day. They're 8-8 on the season. Highlight of the weekend for the Lady Knights, senior Lauren Brummett reached the 1,000 kill mark in her career. So congratulations to Lauren. And again, she has reached that mark here as a senior for the Lady Knights. Tescott tournament, Sylvan Lucas went 4-1 and took second place. They lost to Bennington in 2 in the championship. Sylvan Lucas is 14-3 on the season. Rock Hills went 2-3 and got fourth place on the day. Lincoln was 1-2, Southern Cloud 0-3. Again, all these scores from volleyball over the weekend are at ncksports.com for all the teams, not just the immediate area, but everybody there from the NCAA, Northern Plains League, and Smith Center also have their scores there. So ncksports.com is always the place to go. And you can find the results from the Clay Center tennis tournament this weekend as well, as Beloit finished third as a team. Number one singles, Ashland Knight, 3-1, third place. Number two singles, MyMM, 3-1, third place finish there on Saturday at Clay Center. So, again, a great weekend for a lot of our area athletes. Congratulations to them on a fine weekend. And we'll continue to track them. We're coming up tomorrow with volleyball and throughout the entire week. Again, always check out ncksports.com for the schedules in the area.
Big thanks to Bryce Beisner and to Brandy Porter and others that helped with the live video stream of Beloit at that volleyball tournament there in Belleville on Saturday. I had a chance to watch. The family and I are watching the championship match in the second set, and it was 24-14, I believe. And I said, man, Beloit's going to have to really mess up to blow this one. I said, they only have like 8 or 9 match points. Smith Center wins the next 9 points. And that's just prototypical of a Nick Lynn coach team, right? They're never going to give up. And it was 24-23. And I said, oh, boy, if Smith Center gets this point, all the pressure's on Beloit.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you'd be looking at a third set. And I don't care how much talent Smith Center loses, it seems. They always give Beloit a pretty good run. You know, no matter how talented Beloit is, Smith Center last year, they you know, got one. I think it was a Concordia championship, if I remember correctly, after Beloit had beat them in the Republic County championship. And Beloit-Smith Center could play again in Concordia here in 12 days on September 30th. But it was insane. It was like, Beloit's so good. How does somebody rattle off 9 against Beloit? And it was insane. Did they take the foot off the gas? I don't know. But Smith Center made a couple of great saves to keep the ball alive. And
yeah,
it was 24-23. And you're sitting there going, man, Beloit doesn't finish it right here. Smith Center, I think if they tie it at 24, I think they're going to win this set and force a third. It was pretty wild and wacky stuff.
Yeah, I can tell you that kind of going into that tournament, I felt like Beloit's probably better than Smith Center, right, just from what I've seen so far this year. But one thing you can always say about a Nick Lynn coach team, one, what you said, they're never going to give up, right? Mm-hmm. But two, as the season goes on, they're going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, you know, they fall in the championship last year at Republic County, but then they come back and complete Beloit later on
right.
at Concordia, right? Because they're better and better. And you know, I think Lily's going to get better as a libero back there as she goes on. She's just a sophomore. And
right.
so, yeah, they do. They get better as the season goes on. They figure out who they need to fill in for the people that graduated, and it seems like they don't miss a beat a lot. You know, they're off to a really good start this year compared to what some people might have thought they'd be.
Right.
Yeah, played well on Saturday, but Beloit's just playing just that much better. Right
yeah,
now.
yeah. Beloit's won 17 in a row and didn't drop a set in that entire tournament on Saturday. All right, local sports information, as Dusty mentioned, ncksports.com. The Chiefs' defense saves the day. They went at Jacksonville yesterday 17-9. Chiefs were down 3-0 because, well, Richie James lost the ball in the sun and fumbled, making us remember of Sky Moore returning punts last year. So the Chiefs' defense did the job, though. They hold them to a field goal. They're down 3-0. They score before half. Jaguars do go down the field and get a field goal, make it 7-6. Mahomes finishing 305 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, an interception on his 28th birthday. And the Chiefs do get a touchdown pass there to Kelce for their second touchdown today. They led 14-6, and it was 14-9. And then the defense came up again. You know, there's a first and goal at the 1. You're thinking, okay, you know, this is going to probably be a game that's going to be tied or something. I think I can't remember exactly the order of how the drives went, but the Jaguars, did they kick a field goal in that first goal and 1, or did they, was that the one where they end up going for it?
Oh,
I can't remember.
I was watching
sister. You know what? They kicked the field goal. They kicked the field goal. They
I'm
kicked
shady
the field.
On
it was it was
happened.
It was 14-6. They kicked the field goal. It's really 14-9. And then, of course, they was 17-9, and they said the field goal does us no good with 4.5 minutes left, which was the right call by Doug Peterson. They went for it, didn't work out, and the Chiefs win. The Chiefs defense, 4 sacks. The Jaguars well under 100 yards rushing, 271 yards of offense for a very good offense. Jags offense was 3-for-12 on third down, 0-for-2 on fourth down, 0-for-3 in the red zone, and the Chiefs held them to 3 field goals. I mentioned they held them to a field goal after a muff punt. They held them to a field goal after having first and goal at the 1 after a pass interference penalty. The Chiefs defense was just absolutely fantastic yesterday. They won the game, as Patrick Mahomes said afterwards. Chris Jones looked to be in midseason form, had a sack and a half. When I heard they were going to have a snap count on him, I'm like, yeah, right, that ain't going to happen. And it didn't. He had a sack and a half. Here is Andy Reid on Chris Jones and his impact.
I figured he'd be able to play about a half a game, you know, and we shuttled him in and out. He did a great job. Listen, now, I mentioned this before. Over the years here, he's learned to keep himself in shape. And so when I saw him out of practice, he was moving around pretty good and his endurance seemed good. So, you know, I felt comfortable that he would go in and be able to do his thing. Maybe not to that level. That was a heck of a job, though, by him.
Definitely showing his worth was Chris Jones yesterday in that win over the Jaguars. Patrick Mahomes knows just as well as everybody else that knows football that the defense was the reason they won.
Defense was incredible. I mean, that's a good offense, a really good offense. And for them to shut them down, I think they were like 0-for-4 in the red zone. Some couple critical stops after we turned the ball over. And then when they got critical stops, we went 3 and out a couple times. And they kept holding them to field goals and holding them. I mean, that win is the defense won that game. And so we have to continue to get better as an offense, which I think we will. But if that defense plays like that, I mean, we're going to be a hard team to beat because that's special.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, and we'll talk more about that here in just a moment. And then Andy Reid, let's get his thoughts on the defense and just the win overall.
I'm an offensive guy, but that was a beautiful thing defensively. And offensively, we got to take care of the penalties and the turnovers. But the battle through it shows me a little something. And so we'll get the other stuff fixed as we go. But defensively, great to have Chris Jones back. He was, you know, obviously influenced the game in a positive way for us. Defense just battled. Spags had a phenomenal game plan.
I said it at halftime that, like, it is amazing to me. There's this one talk show guy in Kansas City that I don't know if he thinks before he posts. And he says, how are the Chiefs still in this game? And I go, it's pretty simple, one word, defense. Have you not been watching the game? It's not that hard to figure out. This is not like this gigantic secret, and you got to come up with some kind of gigantic, amazing code to crack it. Like, no, it's pretty simple. It's called the team that you are covering, the Chiefs, don't let the other team score touchdowns, force punts. That's how we're in the game. I know it's odd for Chiefs fans to understand because the Chiefs haven't had a good defense for a long time since really the Marty Schottenheimer
years. I was going to say it's not 1993 to 97, so Chiefs fans don't understand
it. No, they don't. But they're starting to. But the offensive struggles, and then we'll get back to the whole thing as a whole, okay? So though the positives was a defense. There's no doubt about that. The Chiefs committed two more turnovers than the Jaguars. They had 84 more yards lost due to penalty than the Jaguars. The Chiefs had 12 penalties for 94 yards. The Jaguars had 10 yards in penalties. Over the last 10 seasons, teams with at least 3 turnovers and 12 penalties, their record was 1-22-1. This just goes to show you how good the Chiefs are, even when they're not good. So 12 penalties, they had 3 turnovers, 2 on offense, the muff punt by Richie James. Here's another thing that was overlooked, mentioned slightly during the broadcast. Creed Humphrey had a lot of low snaps to Patrick Mahomes yesterday. It wasn't just a couple. It was a lot of them. I mentioned Richie James' fumble. Jawan Taylor had 5 penalties in the game. We knew he'd be picked on. He was a couple times. He was benched for a few plays, and then everybody ran with that. National media saying that he was benched. I had a feeling he was coming right back, and he was. Here's Patrick Mahomes on Jawan Taylor and the penalties that he had to deal with.
Through social media, you knew that some of this was going to get called. But, I mean, he's going to continue to get better and better. They're cracking down on some of the alignment stuff. But we're playing football, man. He'll get closer to the line of scrimmage than, I guess, everyone else. But he'll get closer so that they don't call it. And we'll continue to work the snap counts and stuff like that. But he's a great player. He'll continue to play, and he'll get comfortable. And it's hard whenever kind of getting picked on a little bit to kind of keep playing your game. But I have all the confidence in him in the world.
So CBS Sports, they have whether it's reality or overreaction, there's an article. I wish I didn't even read it today. And it said, the Chiefs miss Orlando Brown, reality. I'm like, do you see what he's doing in Cincinnati? It's not like he's tearing up the world over there at left tackle. It's like, because they point to the penalties on Taylor. Taylor plays right tackle. He doesn't play left tackle. Yeah. That's where Orlando Brown plays. Then they mentioned Donovan Smith gave up a few pressures. No, the Chiefs do not regret letting Orlando Brown go. It's week two. Now, if Taylor has five penalties every game, he won't be playing, and they will regret giving him $20 million. Dominic Smith, we know, is going to have a few holding penalties. That's been the MO for him in his career. The Chiefs knew that when they signed him. You're going to have to live with that a little bit. So, you know, that is overreaction. This guy said
we act like Orlando Brown never got penalized. Yeah. He had some games where it was like he wasn't out there at times.
Exactly. And let me tell you something. There's a guy that got a free beat on the quarterback's blind side, Patrick Mahomes. I want the tackle to get a penalty so my quarterback isn't cut in half. Okay? You know, offensive observations. There's still, I know Sky Moore had three catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. He had the catch at the end, and that's just a defensive breakdown because everybody thought Mahomes was going to run with it. He was wide open. He didn't do anything special there. He made a catch. It was a nice back shoulder catch, nice throw by Mahomes. Sky Moore, okay. I'm not going to sit here and start going how great he is. Kadarius Toney had a really nice start to the game. Kadarius Toney, this is something I will disagree with the Chiefs about. And I love Brett Veach, but he said Kadarius Toney could be a number one in this league. I disagree. I think Kadarius Toney is a gadget player. I think Kadarius Toney is just like Mecole Hardman. That's what I think he is. I think he's a guy that can do bubble screens. He can do jet sweeps. He can do end arounds. You can even set up screens to him. I don't think he's a guy that's going to be running precise routes on your route tree as a wide receiver. I just don't see it. Do you see it?
No, not if we were living in a world like when the Giants picked him in the draft, maybe I could see that and project it. But with what his career's been and all the injuries that he's faced and all the adversities that he's had to go through just to get back on the field at times, it's like I don't think that – I mean, his body's already taken a beating.
Right.
And he's not Tyreek Hill here. Like
he's a similar build as Mecole Hardman. Yeah. To me, he's Mecole Hardman II, except maybe he has a little bit more ability, maybe. But
I would say upside ability is better than Mecole Hardman, but what he does is similar to Mecole Hardman now. Yeah.
To me, he's a gadget player. And that's okay. That's okay. As long as you've got guys and get separation. And that leads to my observation. I was watching very closely because Saran Petro mentioned this last week when he was on our show of 810 WHB in Kansas City about receivers getting separation. He said, you know, Sky Moore doesn't really get a lot of separation. Everybody thinks Sky Moore's going to have this really good year, and he might. Kadarius Toney, he said, is just always sped up, and you saw that yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he fumbled the ball, that was him all sped up. And Kadarius Toney had a much better day. Sky Moore had a much better day. But I was looking at this. There is not a lot of separation with the receivers getting open. Mm-hmm. That is, I mean, it's got to be scheme related. There's no Tyreek Hill to get open, which I'm not sitting here saying Chiefs have to have Tyreek Hill back. They won a Super Bowl because they traded Tyreek Hill, in my opinion, because they made themselves more balanced and was a better team overall. MVS Scantling is exactly what he is. He's never going to be anything different. He is a nice receiver. He's like a number three receiver that happens to start for the Chiefs. He's a tall target that the Chiefs don't really utilize when it comes to his tall target. They throw him a deep ball maybe once a game. He's going to maybe get a couple catches. He might have a game where he gets six catches for 100, but then he's going to disappear for three. He's a guy that has played with Aaron Rodgers. He's played with Patrick Mahomes his whole career, and yet he is what he is. I mean, you would think it'd be one thing if he played with bad quarterbacks, but he's played with two Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. And he is what he is. And then yesterday he became DeMarcus Robinson, and catching a first down pass and deciding somehow to go back the other way was just, you know, not very bright. MVS didn't do much yesterday. You know, Moore did. He had the big play at the end, caught a touchdown. Kelsey didn't do a lot yesterday either, by the way. He was back. He had a touchdown catch. Nice phrase there by Ian Eagle with the blank space in the end zone with reference to Taylor Swift. It was pretty funny, I thought. So, you know, I think there's still concern as to the separation for the wide receivers. I think there should be a little concern about Kelsey's health. He did not look as good as he has in the past. We've talked about how he's pushing 34. He's a guy that isn't as fast. Last 3 years, he's gotten slower based on analytics and data that proves that. So he's got to use his brain, and he's going to have to, you know where. Like, that touchdown wasn't about his speed. That touchdown was about knowing where Mahomes is going to go with the ball and moving without the ball and being in the sight line for Mahomes. They're on the same page. That's going to work for so long until eventually he can't get separation. He is getting some separation, but there were many times yesterday where there was play plays that I think he would have done more with that he didn't. Now, maybe he's just not 100%. He's got to get to 100%. Maybe he can still get there. But that play had nothing to do with speed. That had everything to do with his brain.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say is, like, you're talking about all these guys, and Travis Kelce being back on the field is mm-hmm. the one guy that got the separation that always does, right? Yeah. Even injured, mm-hmm. he still found a way to do that at times. You know, it's not... I mean, I don't think anybody thought he was going to be perfect at 100% out there. And it's not what I was expecting, so I'm not expecting that to happen like on a lot of plays yesterday. But he still was the guy that did. I think Noah Gray might have done it once or twice, but Travis definitely did it, and he still does it, right? And that's how he's had so much success. I mean, you always hear, like, well, how'd they let Kelce get that wide open? They didn't let him.
No, right.
He did it. Himself, he knew where to go. I tell everybody, I'm like, there's usually on every pass play, there's three options for Travis Kelce, mm-hmm. like where he wants to go on this certain pass play. And when you've done it for so long together with Mahomes and Kelce, you're going to know where he's going to go. It's like you have that, you know, sixth sense of where he's going to be,
right?
And it's just that comes with reps and continuity and all that stuff.
Absolutely. And so here's Patrick Mahomes on the offense overall.
Too many penalties, too many miscues. But, I mean, there's stuff that we can learn from. Got a lot of zone coverage, just having to find ways to execute versus zone and driving the length of the field. I mean, it's going back to the basics, going back to the fundamentals. But I was telling Ted, if you play bad and win, it's a lot better than playing bad and losing. So I was glad we found a way to get a win at the end of the day. But obviously a lot of stuff that we have to get better at.
And we knew that with Kelce on the field, that would open things up a little bit for other players, even if he was a decoy and he wasn't 100%. Here's Mahomes on having Kelce back on the field.
It surprised me, honestly, because that's a scary injury. And, I mean, he didn't look good there for a little bit, but he battled over those extra days. He was in the facility rehabbing. And to get himself out there and able to play, it talks about the competitor that he is and the teammate that he is. And so having him out there not only makes him make plays, but it helps everybody else and gets other guys open. So truly just a great teammate, man, just to even be out there on that field.
Okay, a couple of things here. We'll jump back to Kelce in a moment. It was I almost fainted when the Chiefs ran a 4th-and-1 and handed off to Pacheco instead of going parallel line of scrimmage, which is just the fullback counter that they ran with Michael Burton. It's just that Pacheco's lined up in that spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was good. I like to see that. I didn't like Andy Reid. It worked out, but I didn't like him not even passing up on a 55-yard field goal, and Butker's got the leg to punt the ball.
That was
either, I mean, either go for it or kick the field goal. I sat there. I'm like, dude, if this is what you're going to do the rest of the game, you're going to lose because Doug Peterson is going to go for it. When Doug Peterson then, of course, has 4th-and-5 near midfield, he went for it. Now, it didn't work. He got sacked. But you know what? I'd rather have the coach that goes for it than the coach that just – punts the ball. It's one thing if the Chiefs didn't have a good kicker. It's another if they didn't have a kicker that had the leg. So unless Butker was having an issue, which I saw him boot it through the end zone on touchbacks, yeah. I'm not really sure what the point of having a kicker is if you're not going to use him to get 3 points. Now, it worked out, like I said, the defense, they pinned him back. It was good special teams execution, but you gained 35 yards of field position, which... really, what the Chiefs said, it didn't matter where the Jaguars started. The Chiefs' defense was really, really good. But that's something that can't keep happening, in my opinion.
No, because I've like made a comment. I was like, is Butker hurt? Like,
yes.
What's going on? This is a 55-yard field goal.
Well, within
his
range.
I've seen him drill 60s before, yes. And it's yes. like, what? I don't know if he's worried about the
weather
ball
bad.
Being heavy because the humidity. Like, I don't know. I did not understand.
Unless
that
Butker
at all.
Was missing those kicks that way, which, of course, the CBS crew didn't give us anything. So, and never was on top of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter that he was hitting from 60 in pregame, but I didn't see which way.
Know. Right. Yeah. So I didn't understand that one. But let's get back to Kelce for a moment, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the Chiefs in depth, and I'll tell you why Chiefs fans should be super excited. I have concerns with Travis Kelce. I love Travis Kelce, but I'm going to say this, and this may rub Chiefs fans the wrong way because he's your guy. Just like if you've got a certain politician that you love and anybody says anything, you know, somewhat questionable about him, you just immediately shut down, roll the eyes in the back of your head and won't listen. All right, this could easily happen right now to Chiefs fans. I'm not... You know, Kelce's going to wear down. His body's going to break down. He's going to be done in this league within probably 2 to 3 years. Maybe sooner. I highly doubt he's going to make it more than 3 years after this. And that's okay. I mean, dear Lord, he's had an amazing career. And he's matured over the years. His first couple of years, he got stupid penalties. He lost his cool. Andy Reid even benched him one time. His rookie year, he was hurt pretty much the whole year. Then he started to grow and mature. And then kind of towards the end of the Alex Smith era, he started to kind of grow up a little bit. And then the Mahomes era has been very good, although it's pretty nice. It's easy to be happy when you're winning all the time. It's hard to be happy when you're losing. And Travis Kelce, listen, I love the podcast. I love the New Heights podcast with him and his brother Jason. I think it's one of the best podcasts out there. Terrific stuff. I enjoy listening to Kelce talk in that podcast. I do think that his act is getting old for me personally a little bit. You know, I love that you've got the fight for your right to Lombardi. That was a great line. I love that too. But he's got a lot of things going on off the field that I do wonder a little bit. There are the rumors of him and Taylor Swift that I can't confirm, so I'm not going to blame him for anything like that. But what I'm saying is that he's got a lot of things going on, and I do think this, I think it's a compliment to Travis Kelce. I think he's a guy that knows his career's about over. He's towards the end. He knows that. He's past his prime. I mean, I say past his prime. He still had an amazing year last year. But in regards to physically, his body isn't ever going to be back to the prime part it was when he was younger, okay? Just not going to happen. So what I think Travis Kelce is doing is he's become very popular because, one, they're winning. Two, they started the podcast. That helped create some popularity. He has been on Saturday Night Live. He's been on a lot of other stuff. Now he's in a lot more commercials. Prior to this offseason, Travis Kelce was not in very many commercials, and why not? Travis Kelce was one of the best tight ends the last 5 years. The Chiefs won it a few years ago. Why wasn't Travis Kelce getting all this run on, all of a sudden, boom, Saturday Night Live, boom, all of a sudden he's in DirecTV commercials, boom, he's in another commercial, boom, and he's in another commercial. All of a sudden, everything exploded for him after the second Super Bowl. Now, I don't know if the podcast helped create that for him, and if so, that was genius. And Travis Kelce's made extra money in endorsements because of it. And part of it is because of, obviously, the Chiefs winning. Second of all, it is his personality. And I think he builds that up a little bit, which is all about entertainment. I have no problem with any of that, as long as it doesn't affect you on the field. And we saw in training camp, and I kind of blew it off, training camp, he's getting in some fights with some DBs and so forth and so on. I'm like, okay, he said, I got to be better. I got to be a better leader. You know, he apologized, so forth and so on. But yesterday, towards the end of the game, he lost his cool. He got a penalty that CBS did not show. Mm-hmm. You know, the Chiefs fans are like, oh, he just unbuckled his chin strap, and he got a penalty. What the heck's wrong with the refs? CBS sucked with their coverage at times yesterday. They didn't fill in the blanks at all. The producers, the directors, they either didn't have the camera work. I don't know, but we never did find out why Kelce got a 15-yard penalty, because trust me, that's not what he got it for. So he did something to earn it, more than likely. Then towards the end of the game, you know, he's mouthing off. Luckily, it was offsetting penalties, because a 15-yard penalty on one, it pushes you back. And if some reason you don't get that first down inside the two, you get pushed back 15 yards. Now you got to kick a field goal that could be blocked, okay, or you miss it. I mean, he thought the game was over, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so that is not being a leader. That is not good leadership. And it's one thing to make mistakes and apologize for it and say, I got to be better. Well, then be better. And he said it in training camp, but then yesterday, all of a sudden he's back and he's playing. And I think part of it is he's frustrated with himself. I think he's frustrated because he's not the player he wants to be yesterday. To his credit, he put himself out there, as Mahomes mentioned. But I do have some concerns with Kelce's emotions right now a little bit. I think he's distracted a little bit. I mean, he dropped a ball that he normally would have caught for a touchdown. Now, that happens. He's not perfect. And maybe it's just a matter of getting back in a flow after missing a week and having that injury. But there have been signs all the way back to training camp that Kelce is a bit of a hothead right now. And I don't fully understand it. He wasn't a hothead the last few years. I mean, he's emotional. He'll get into it from time to time. But yesterday, it was like he wanted to get into it badly. Yeah. Like, if you go back and watch the play, after he gets the offsetting personal foul with the other player, he goes right after that guy on a block and tries to kill him. So there's something frustrating Travis Kelce. And I don't know if it's his love life. I don't know if it's... He knows that he's coming towards the end of his career. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe he knows that the injury he has now will not allow him to be 100% this year, and he's going to have to gut through it. But something's off, in my opinion, at least at the moment, with Travis Kelce. Now, There's plenty of time to figure it out, but it's something that I want to point out and keep an eye on. I'm not saying that you should be freaking out about it. I'm not saying that you should be, you know, staying up at night going, oh my God, what's Kelsey going to be like? What I'm saying is keep an eye on it, because this could hurt the team in various ways. One, from a leadership standpoint, if you got players in training camp not afraid to fight back at Travis Kelsey, that means, one, you kind of don't respect him. Okay, or you don't like his antics. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are a lot of people outside of Kansas City that are tired of his antics. And I'm not going to lie to you. I am a little bit tired of a few things he does, too. It's over the top sometimes. You might like it. Ask yourself this question. If Rob Gronkowski did the same thing Travis Kelsey does as a Chiefs fan, what would you be thinking? You would be like, dear God, he's everywhere. He needs to just shut up. I'm tired of seeing him. He's over the top. He runs his mouth. He gets into stuff on the field. It's different when it's your player, right?
Oh, for sure.
It's absolutely different when it's your player. You know, you hate on Tom Brady because Tom Brady was always winning. Now Mahomes has become the new Brady. People that, you know, don't want the Chiefs to win, the Chiefs have become the Patriots, basically. And we predicted this after the first year they won the Super Bowl. As soon as they won their first Super Bowl, we said the Chiefs will become the Patriots. They'll become the darlings, then they'll become the hated by people outside of Kansas City. That's what you're starting to see, the jealousy. But Kelsey adds a little different fire to that jealousy with some of his antics, the way he acts. And it's great when you're part of it. At your Chiefs Kingdom, you love it. And I'm not saying I have a big problem with any of the stuff he's doing per se until it hurts the team on the football field. And yesterday, it did hurt the team on the football field. It cost him 15 yards, and he's lucky it was an offsetting, or it could have cost him at the end of the game. Keep an eye on this.
I saw all that going on yesterday, and I'm in the back of my mind, it's that phrase, does a leopard really change its spots, mm-hmm. right? Like, and I don't think it does. Like,
the last 4 or 5 years, he's been really, really good.
Is, like, when you're as successful as you are, I think you can suppress some of that on the field and just go play, right? Like, right. But, you know, anytime something might come into your life, whether it's on the field or off the field or whatever, something might trigger that, mm-hmm. and something might put him back to where he was, because this guy's been immature a lot of his career, right? But, like you said, the last 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is,
since Mahomes.
Playing with Mahomes, really, has kind of reeled him in a little bit. But at the same time, Travis Kelsey's always been Travis Kelsey. He had his own TV show about dating, for crying out loud, way back, you know, with Catching Kelsey on E! And so he's always mm-hmm. been in the limelight, and he's always pushed himself into the limelight if he could. And then he's always kind of been that, you know, I remember when he threw the guy's flag. Coincidentally, that was against the Jaguars, too.
Mm-hmm, he was.
I remember when he threw the official, or threw his towel like he was throwing a flag. He didn't throw. There was somebody, I think Marcus Peters was the one that actually threw a flag for the Chiefs one time. But he threw his flag like he was, you know, throwing a flag on the official because he was mad at him. And then he's doing, you know, signals when officials making a call, and that gifts all over Twitter still to this day. People mm-hmm. use it when they're like mad at an official and just watching a Chiefs game, right? And so, it's like, I don't think Travis Kelsey's really ever changed who he is. He's reeled it in mm-hmm. over the last 3 or 4 years. But there's still times on the field when you can tell that he's about ready to get chippy, but might pull back a little bit. Mm-hmm. The stuff in the preseason didn't surprise me.
No.
He's high on his horse, obviously, and he's like, no, I'm not going to let some rookie come in here and push me around. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, second-year guy, some guy that's not going to play on this team probably. And you know, in some of those instances. And I just don't think he's really – I don't think Travis Kelsey's changed since the day he came into the league. I think he suppressed it and held back and probably had, you know, coaches that helped him hold back mm-hmm. As far as the on-the-field stuff. But there are plenty of times, you know, where he had issues early in his career, and this none of this surprises me. Like, I'm not – you get to the back end of your career, things aren't going your way mm-hmm. right now. You're having a season where you didn't get to play the first game. You have an injury. Things aren't going right. You might drop a pass here or there, whatever. And your mind just starts going the wrong way, and it doesn't surprise me, is what I'm saying.
It doesn't surprise me either. For me, with Kelsey, is this. He brings attention to himself because he wants to.
100%.
Patrick Mahomes doesn't bring attention to himself in that way.
Because he doesn't necessarily want to, and he definitely doesn't need to.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I don't think Kelsey needs to do some of this stuff, but I thought that early in his career as well. Then, like you said, he reeled it in. maybe came a little more mature, maybe more grounded. Maybe he was in a good relationship. He had a girlfriend for a while. Now he apparently doesn't, unless it's Taylor Swift. Who knows? But I am I'm a little concerned about that because, you know, if I'm a teammate of Travis Kelce, you know, wow, oh, I'm playing with Travis Kelce. He's a really good player. But if I'm a younger player and he, you know, I don't care how great you are. If you're being a cocky person that's arrogant but also annoying as hell, then I don't respect you as much. And honestly, I really don't care if you're my team or not. I might take a shot at you.
Oh, I get tired of the antics. You know, everybody thought that was funny what he did in that Jaguars game when he threw the towel. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, you just took yourself out of a position to score points here. And it's like, it's not funny. Like, you might laugh at it.
Andy Reid didn't think
it's not funny.
Nope. I remember he benched him there at one point. Andy Reid did. So something to keep an eye on. I'm not saying freak out about it. I'm just saying keep an eye on it. Now let's get to the part that is going to be different than most people doing sports talk shows. Now, maybe Kansas City, my friend Saran will probably at least have a somewhat of a decent take on this compared to some. A lot of people are going to focus on the offense struggling. A lot of people are going to focus on, you know, the turnovers, the penalties. They're going to focus on Jawan Taylor. They're going to say, oh, he got benched. Yeah, he got benched for like three plays. Donovan Smith getting a couple of holding penalties. Tony fumbling the ball, Kelce not being, 100%. There will be people to talk about Chris Jones, and he's going to get more credit for the defense doing what it did yesterday than maybe he deserves, or maybe he does deserve all that. I don't know. This defense played pretty well without him in week one. So the Chiefs have been through two games now, and they've given up a total of 20 points, the defense. The defense has got a total of 23 points. The Lions had the pick six on Tony's drop. Really, they shouldn't get charged for the 3 points they got off the muff punt either.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs defense, at least as of now, is a top 10 defense. Patrick Mahomes has never had a top 10 defense.
No.
Tom Brady had a top 10 defense many times. He almost always had at least a top 15 defense. Mahomes has played with some really bad defenses over the years, as we know. Here's the reason that you should be looking at yesterday's game, and instead of complaining about how ugly a win it was, you should be looking at it, I think, more optimistically than some people will, because everybody's caught up in the sexy part. You know, the people that really, really look at football understand what I'm probably about to say. For those that are all about scoring touchdowns and getting your fantasy points in your fantasy football league, you may not quite understand it, so this is why I'm going to try to explain it. Yesterday's win by the Kansas City Chiefs or the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road against a playoff team from last year reminded me of the New England Patriots with Tom Brady in the middle of their run. Was Patrick Mahomes magnificent, fantastic, and amazing yesterday? No. Was the offense that good? No. Did they make mistakes? Yes. Who bailed them out? The defense. Mahomes hasn't had that for a very long time, if ever, in his whole life, because Texas Tech had horrible defenses.
At White House High School.
Maybe White House High School. We've talked about this for a while over the last few years, and when Bob Sutton was finally fired and they brought in Steve Spagnuolo, we said that all the Chiefs have to do is be a top 15 defense, be just in the top half. If you do that, you got a great chance of winning a Super Bowl. And we said, imagine if this defense ever was... where this team was balanced enough to where the offense didn't have to carry the load. Imagine if the defense could win games. Imagine if the defense could be top 10 caliber. Imagine if the defense would be rated like Brady's defenses were back when he won many of those Super Bowls. What would the Chiefs be like then? And this is what the Chiefs look like now. We've seen a metamorphosis of the Chiefs offensively. This has been somewhat gradual over the last few years. Mahomes comes in, he becomes a starter, and they chuck it deep, and they got Tyreek Hill, and they got Kelce, and they're making all these amazing plays. They have Kareem Hunt at the time, and they're outscoring people most of the time. The defense knows they don't have to get a lot of stops. Can't get a pass rush, can't get anybody off the field third and 12. That's okay, Mahomes. All we got to do is get one stop later. Mahomes will bring us back, and he normally would. Then defense is adjusted. They went to the two deep safeties. They said, listen, we're not giving Tyreek Hill the play over the top. We're going to keep everything in front of us. Then Mahomes struggled at times with that. They started 3-4 one of those seasons. Then he started to figure out, hey, I can check it down. I can take the intermediate route, so forth and so on. Then the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill. So last year, the Chiefs had to be a different offense, weren't they? And they were still the best offense in football, but they did it in a different way. They didn't have the big home run plays, but they were able to be patient, take what the defense gave them, spread the ball around to where he didn't lock on to Tyreek Hill, as Mahomes did a few times in his career, which is understandable when the guy is running a 4.240. And the Chiefs became a more balanced team. They took the money from Tyreek Hill that they would have put there. They put it towards they drafted lots of young players, in particular on their defense. They know that with Mahomes' big contract, listen, we're going to have some young people on this team. They're going to be young. They're going to be on, you know, the rookie contract, so forth and so on. And we saw Mahomes turn into a true quarterback last year in regards to divvying the ball around, spreading the wealth, finding the open guy, spreading it to 10, 11 different receivers, whatever the case may be. And the Chiefs still scored, what, 30 points a game? It wasn't, you know, they didn't have those 50-point games or 40-point games very often, but they would score 30, 31, 34, maybe 27 and win 27-24. That was kind of a gradual process now to where we are today. The Chiefs now don't have, based on the defense through two games, the Chiefs don't have to score 30 to win anymore, which means that Andy Reid will probably become more conservative, which is kind of scary to me. I think that's maybe why he did punt the ball yesterday instead of going for field goal. That was at the beginning of the game, is that he liked the way the defense was playing at that point in time. And so, and that may come back to bite the Chiefs a little bit, but here's the thing. In the past, when the Chiefs would kick the ball away late in a game and they were up 7 or 6 or 3, you're like, well, I hope the Chiefs have enough time to get the ball back because they're not going to stop them. Now, after two games this year, and we saw improvement at times last year, you sit here and you say, you know, let's not do something stupid here. Forget the gadget play on 3rd and 1. Let's run it straight ahead. We get it. We don't. Okay, we don't. We punt it. We let our defense play. Or we still go for it on 4th and 1. If we don't get it, we're not going to freak out because the defense can still hold them with a short field. This is the metamorphosis that it is not as sexy as it was at the beginning of Mahomes' career, but it could be just as effective. And that is, your defense is better. Your offense doesn't have to do as much, so it might not be as good. But it's still good, but it's not flamboyant. It's not sexy. It's not great. There'll be times you'll see it. But if the Chiefs this year offensively average 24 points a game, which is not great, but it's not bad. If they average 24 points a game and the defense is a top 10 defense, the Chiefs more than likely will still be in the Super Bowl at the end of the year. This team is just more balanced than they were in the early going. And so while people love the shootout with the Rams, 54-51, and they love the shootout with the Seahawks back, you know, when Russell Wilson went against Mahomes, I can think of other shootouts the Chiefs have had. That's all fine and dandy. But this team, when you play defense, you will be in every game. And all you got to do is look at the first two games this year. They played a team that could have made the playoffs, that was one of the best offenses of football, the Lions, and the Chiefs' defense kept them in the game. And if Kadarius Toney doesn't drop a pass on the final drive of the Chiefs, they kick a field goal more than likely and win the game. The Chiefs' defense allowed the Chiefs to win a game without Chris Jones when the offense wasn't very good. And part of that was receivers dropping passes, which is part of the offense, right? Yesterday, the offense was a hot mess. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. There were low snaps. There were guys dropping the ball. There was the penalties. I mean, it was bad. It was horrible. The Chiefs looked god-awful. And as god-awful as they looked, they still led at halftime by one. And there's only one reason they were ahead at halftime. The defense. Steve Spagnuolo's defense. And then you add Chris Jones back into the fray, and you see the impact he has. This defense... Justin Reed said it during the offseason. He said it during training camp. And he said it again yesterday on social media. He said, I've been trying to tell y'all, this group has a chance to be special. He's been on various teams. He's been with the Texans. He's been with the Chiefs. Texans made the playoffs against the Chiefs. He's been on some good teams. Justin Reed is a very smart man. Stanford education, everything else. If Justin Reed thinks this defense can be special, and he did not say that last year, then I believe him. And why would I disagree after two games and 8 quarters of play? The Chiefs have given up a whopping 23 points, and you could argue it's really 20. I don't know what else you want from the defense. Here's why you shouldn't be going, oh, what an ugly win. And it was an ugly win. I get that part. But you should be really super excited about what happened yesterday. And I know this sounds weird, but we've got to get our mind changed slightly. We've got to adjust a little bit. The Chiefs are not an offense that's going to go out and score 40 points a game and win shootouts anymore. That's not who they are. They don't have Tyreek Hill. They have an aging Travis Kelce. They're incorporating some young receivers. Justin Ross, I didn't even know was on the field yesterday. It says he had 9 snaps. I didn't even see him out there. Rashee Rice had a catch or two. Sky Moore had a couple timely catches. Kadarius Toney early was okay. You sit here and talking about the passing game. You're like, who had a good day catching the ball? Mahomes spread it around. Threw it to Pacheco. He threw it to Hilaire for a fourth down pickup, so forth and so on. They just spread it around. That's what they're going to have to do. There's not going to be any fantasy football player from the Chiefs that's going to go off for 2 weeks in a row, except maybe Kelsey, with 100 yards and two touchdowns. If you have Scantling, you have Sky Moore, you have Kadarius Toney, you have Rashee Rice, Justin Ross on your Justin Watson. If you have any of those people on your fantasy rosters, you're just going to have to get lucky and pick the right week to put them in your lineup, because we saw that the last couple of years. DeMarcus Robinson had a game where he had four touchdown catches or three against the Raiders. We saw Byron Pringle have a huge game.
One of those Pringles games.
Pringle's game was when Kelsey was out with COVID. I was there for that one against the Steelers 2 years ago, and Hill was banged up and had one catch for 10 yards, and the Chiefs lit him up like a Christmas tree, and Pringle had the big day. They don't have Hill. We know this. They don't have Juju, which good thing we don't, because he's a shell of himself. His knee's bothering me. You can see it with the Patriots last night. But the Chiefs are a different animal, and you can win Super Bowls different ways. There is no one set way to win a Super Bowl. The one thing you have to have to win a Super Bowl is you have to have, and nowadays, a great quarterback. That's it. Once you have a great quarterback, now it's a matter of if you have a great offense and a bad defense, can you make a run? Yes, Mahomes proved that. But did they make the Super Bowl with that bad defense? No, they did not. They did not. And it might have been a blessing in disguise, because they got Bob Sutton fired. Steve Spagnuolo catches heat from Chiefs fans when the defense has struggled, but yet when they've needed to come up big the last few years in the postseason, they have. Now he's got this team defense looking as good. This looks like Spags' type of defense. He's got the guys he wants at different positions. You know, got Tranquil helps at the linebacker spot, some depth there. You got Gay, you've got Bolton, you've got speed at the linebacker spot. The corners, McDuffie's a shutdown corner. I mean, Jalen Watson doesn't even start now. That's how deep they are at corner. He's a special teams player. You know, Brian Cook made a couple of good plays yesterday at the safety position. Justin Reed is a nice veteran back there who's still young. The offensive line, I know there's questions at Juwan Taylor with the penalties. I think that'll be fine. Donovan Smith, the left tackle, I think they'll be fine. The offense is going to come around, and they're not going to be as bad as they've been the first 2 weeks of the season. The defense probably won't be as good as they've been the first 2 weeks the whole year, obviously. But if the Chiefs end up having a top 10 defense, the offense is going to be better than they've been the last 2 weeks. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And if Kelsey gets healthier, that's even better. This Chiefs team is built to win in the postseason. If you suddenly have one of the best defenses to go along with the best quarterback in the league, holy shnikes. That should scare the rest of the league more than Mahomes to run for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns and winning games 38-35. This should scare the league more. That they really should be 2-0, despite how horrible they've played. They played like crap on offense the first two games. Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. Mahomes has been fine. Guys dropping passes. The penalties put him in bad situations. Then him and Matt Nagy decided it's illegal to run the ball in the first half yesterday, which is just what they do. And yet still, despite all those horrible things, they were ahead at halftime, and they didn't beat a podunk team. They beat a team that made it to the divisional round last year and pushed the Chiefs in the playoffs. They won on the road against a playoff team that has more weapons this year than last year. They have Calvin Ridley. I was worried about that. The Chiefs right now are sitting here. They beat an AFC team that's a challenger in the conference. They got a tiebreaker against them. They did it on the road. And oh, by the way, they did it when their offense was bad. Their special teams had a turnover. There are a few questionable decisions on, you know, punting or kicking a field goal, as we talked about. At the end of the day, they won by 8 on the road. And they had 12 penalties and 3 turnovers. Dear God, what happens when they clean that up? And we've talked about this in the past. The biggest opponent for the Chiefs is the Chiefs themselves. I know we talked about this a couple years ago. And the Chiefs, that 1 year when they were 3-4. Listen, once they figure this out and they clear up some of these mistakes, which is all correctable, they'll be fine. We were freaking out last year about special teams. I was one of them, as well as anybody else, going, oh my gosh, you know, they are what they are. I remember you and I had this conversation. It was week 16. We're like, you know, the Chiefs keep making these mistakes on special teams. How's this going to get better? They are what they are. Well, guess what? It did get better. We were wrong.
Somehow.
It got better when it was crunch time. It got better in the playoffs. Special teams was a big component for the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl. Without Kadarius Toney's punt return, without Sky Moore's punt return, the Chiefs don't make the Super Bowl. Yeah. Without Kadarius' punt return, maybe the Chiefs don't win the Super Bowl. Special teams, Butker came through with big clutch kicks. Special teams was huge last year in the playoffs. And it was crappy all regular season.
So many disasters during the first 17.
But does anybody go back and go, they remember Sky Moore muffing those punts. But you know what? It's all forgiven because the Chiefs made the plays at the end with special teams. Same thing here. Let's not freak out about the offense struggling so much in the first two games. They played two decent defenses. The Jaguars are actually legit defensively, I think. But the Chiefs offensively are going to be better. And if you look at their schedule coming up, they got the Bears at home, at the Jets with whoever's going to be their quarterback, at the Vikings, who the Vikings are 0-2. I think that is going to be a tough game. But the Chiefs should win the next two games. They're 3-1. Then they got the Vikings, then Denver at home, who blew a game yesterday. The Chargers at home, who continue to lose close games. And then at Denver, I mean, the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The next six opponents are combined 1-11 right now. 1-11. Yeah. Now, I think those teams are better than that record indicates. Obviously, I think the Chargers are better than 0-2. But the point is, the Chiefs have time to figure this out, and they avoided going 0-2. This was a big win for them yesterday when a lot of things went wrong.
Yeah, and the fun thing that I think about this is, like, you're talking about, you know, one thing you said was, like, this Chiefs team is different. It's built different. It's built different by design and purpose.
Yes.
If you watched how the Chiefs drafted, everybody's screaming and yelling when Tyreek leaves. Everybody's screaming and yelling all the time. It's not even when Tyreek's on the team, everybody's screaming and yelling, who's our number two wide receiver? Well, Tyreek or Travis Kelce, whichever one's here right now, is our number two wide receiver. Everybody's screaming for wide receivers all the time.
Because, or a running back.
Yeah, because you've got a quarterback that's flashy, flamboyant, and can do everything anybody would ever want a quarterback to do on the field. So automatically people say, we need more weapons for this guy. We need more weapons. Look at how they're drafting. And I pulled up there too deep because I kind of wanted to see this. They're so young, and you can see the starters that are out there and who's playing, and you can understand that. But if you actually think about, like, the intention that Brett Veach put into these drafts, Karlaftis, McDuffie last year. I mean, you're getting guys that are young to put into this defense.
Josh
They're
Williams.
Starting right away. And if you look at this number one defense, Willie Gay, Nick Bolton, Leo Chanel, Karlaftis, McDuffie,
Josh Williams.
And Josh Williams is on the second. He's too deep, right? Like, he's going to go out there for nickel and things like that. So
he started at corner yesterday.
And so he's starting some games at corner just based on what package they're running, right?
Right.
And Legarius Sneed is a young guy that they picked up. Jalen Watson was a seventh-round draft pick and was starting games last year for this team. Felix Anidike Uzomah is the number one pick, the first-round pick this year for the Chiefs. This is built by purpose to have a defense that can get out there, and the Chiefs can be at best in a season, like, when they're cooking, maybe getting 20 high 20s, low 30 scores, because I don't want 54-51.
No.
It's fun to watch if you're an NFL football fan. But if you're a fan of a team, I don't want 54-51.
You want to win a Super Bowl.
I want 34-28. I want 28-21.
Yeah.
I don't even care what that is, as long as the defense is doing their job. What this does is it puts less pressure on Patrick Mahomes and these wide receivers, and hopefully they can kind of ease up a little bit, start feeling more comfortable about what they're doing. Also, if you don't continuously have the big hitter and the big plays, it keeps your defense fresh. If you can actually go do a drive and eat up 5, 6, 7 minutes on a drive. This team is built like this on purpose. And if you lose a guy because you don't want to pay him what he wants, Tyreek Hill, build the team in a different way, and that's exactly what Brett Veach has done. And there's been nothing that I've seen from him that's been wrong yet.
No.
And, you know, I'll knock on wood because everything was gold for Dayton Moore for quite a while.
Sure.
And all of a sudden it just dropped off. But this is a different organization. It's run differently, and it's a guy that understands that I'm not going to listen to these people screaming that we need a wide receiver.
Right.
We need defense. And they put a premium on defense in the last 4 or 5 drafts, and it's paid off for them. This is how you build a team, and this is where you're at. And I'm with you. I was in the moment. You're like, figure this out. What are we doing, offense?
Right.
But when the game's over and you won 17-9, you're like, this offense isn't going to play this battle.
That's exactly right.
And if this defense plays about to 90% of what they're playing right now, is just off the charts.
Yes.
And this team's going to win a lot of games, and you're going to feel more comfortable about them in the playoffs maybe than you ever have.
That's right. I agree with you. See, here's the thing. When it's so funny you said that, like, certain scores. If the Chiefs won yesterday 38-30, people are feeling better about it today than the Chiefs winning by the exact same margin, 17-9.
Yeah.
these are the type of games the Patriots would win with Brady. Brady didn't go off and go scorched earth on everybody and throw it for 400 yards every game. There are many games where Brady was decent, okay, and often struggled, and they kicked field goals, and they would win some ugly games because they had a good special teams and they had good defense. And the Chiefs, to me, are doing what the Patriots kind of did when they had their run with their dynasty is, you know, you pay the quarterback, although Brady took a discount, but so is Mahomes, and if you go back and look at it now. But the Chiefs knew the Chiefs had a plan all along. They knew what they could spend on certain people. We know how far we can go with Chris Jones before we go too far. We know how far we can go on Tyreek Hill before we go too far. And they said, hey, we can't go that far. Find somebody to trade with. And they traded and they got all kinds of draft picks to help build their young defense. With Mahomes' number against the cap continuing to go up, but although the cap will get higher and higher because more TV revenue is coming in, and the cap will be much higher here in a couple of years, according to reports. So that'll give you more flexibility and pay Mahomes $75 million a year, probably. But the point I'm trying to make is you can't pay a whole bunch of superstars. You can't do it. You know, I had somebody tell me, well, this is disturbing. We let Hill go, and now we're going to probably let Jones go. I'm like, I'm not disturbed by it that much because you can't pay every superstar. The only superstar you want to make sure you take care and that keep is happy is the quarterback. You want to keep him happy. All you got to do is see how the Packers did to Aaron Rodgers, how that blew that up, right? Mm-hmm. You keep the quarterback happy. He's the key to this whole thing. But he does need a supporting cast, clearly. Does he need a pretty good weapon in Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill? Yeah, obviously he has. But he's also proven in games without Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, he can still spread it around and make DeMarcus Robinson and Byron Pringle look like great guys and get free agent contracts somewhere else, and then they disappear off the face of the earth, which is what Brady did with wide receivers of the Patriots year after year. Made those guys look good. They go get a bigger deal somewhere else, and then they're suddenly out of the league in 3 years because it's different. You don't have the same type of quarterback. But you know you have to be cheaper in certain areas. The Chiefs have invested here. Listen, this is where the Chiefs have invested. After they got blown to smithereens by the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl in regards to all the pressure, and they did have two backup tackles at right and left tackle, but the Chiefs spent what? A lot of draft capital on offensive line, and they spent money on Joe Tooney. They addressed the offensive line. Then they spent money on Orlando Brown. They traded and got him. Then they got rid of Orlando Brown. They went and they traded and got Juwan Taylor. They gave him a ton of money, which we'll see how he turns out. I think he'll be fine. Rough day yesterday at the office. He was going to be picked on. We knew this all along after what happened in week one against the Lions. The Chiefs will not invest a lot of money at running back. You don't have to ever worry about that. And now most teams aren't doing that, period, which I think is smart, even though it sucks for running backs. And the Chiefs have learned that I'm not going to pay $30 million a year for a top number one wide receiver. I can get a whole bunch of twos and threes, and I've got a quarterback that's number 1A, so I can be cool. Now, I do think they're going to have to address tight end here soon in regards to finding a guy, because I think some quarterbacks love having that tight end. Brady loved having Gronkowski. Rodgers likes to throw to his tight end at times. A lot of the great quarterbacks had great tight ends. Joe Montana had Dwight Clark. You know, I remember that many years. Brent Jones. So you usually have to have a pretty good tight end for that great quarterback, and I think the Chiefs will address that. Noah Gray, maybe eventually. He had a big play yesterday. Maybe he'll turn into that.
And I'm not giving up on him being that guy, because, I mean, if you have Travis Kelce on your team, you're not going to Noah Gray a lot.
Right, right. So maybe
he could be that guy. He's athletic, right. And
or maybe
I've seen him get himself over.
Or maybe make a trade and get a Kyle Pitts if things don't go well in Atlanta. And wow, or you draft a guy, you know, like third round, like you did Kelce back in the day. That is a position. But the point I'm trying to make is, the reason the Chiefs stood firm with Chris Jones is we're not going to mortgage the future because of one player other than the quarterback. So, and Travis Kelce, I think, knows that if he holds out and he goes after a big deal, the Chiefs will probably be a little bit similar to that, too. Like, we can only go so far here, okay? We'll present what we think is a fair offer, and Jones turned down, reportedly, two years, $55 million extension. Doesn't look too bright right now based on what he ended up settling for. But do the Chiefs have any guy that they paid too much money for on the defensive side of the ball right now? Justin Reed is a very similar contract to Tyrann Mathieu, which is not horrible. So you've got it, and he's younger. So that was a good move, I thought, all along. They got younger and paid the same price as a Tyrann Mathieu would have been. And Mathieu sometimes could be a little bit of a malcontent. Justin Reed is not. Look at this defense. What's the old fuddy-duddy they have on their defense? Who's the oldest player? The oldest player is Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Seriously, go look it up. Chris Jones is the oldest starting player on this defense at 29, almost 30. And that's the guy you're going to give $32 million a year for and give a long-term extension? I think it's pretty clear why they didn't. So you don't want to tie your hands there because you know Mahomes' number will get to be bigger and bigger. At some point, you're going to have to pay for, you know, you're going to have to figure out a way to keep Nick Bolton. I think it's going to cost you money. Yeah. That's coming up soon. You got to identify the guys you got to build around. Chris Jones is not going to be here in 2 years. He might not be here next year. As much as he played great yesterday, he cost too much money. Nick Bolton are going to have to re-sign. Odds are they're going to. I think they know how important he is, but maybe not. Maybe they go, we'll be fine without him. They're probably not going to re-sign a Legarius Sneed, who's going to demand some decent money, but they're going to probably more than likely, when Creed Humphrey needs his money, they're going to take care of him. I would say Trey Smith, maybe they'll take care of him. Now, the right tackle's locked in for 4 years. Your left tackle's a one-year deal that's probably, you're going to have to come up with another left tackle next year, more than likely. And the Chiefs have shown that they've been able to rotate tackles at times and be okay. So the Chiefs have a game plan. And the Chiefs right now, as you just accurately pointed out, in my opinion, you could see this going this way. We're going to save money at the wide receiver position. We're going to save money at the running back position. We're going to invest in the offensive line and protect our great quarterback. We're going to take care of him. We're going to, you know, spend some money on a few guys to bring in to help the defense, like a Justin Reed. They put out a good offer to Jones. Not their fault he didn't take it. They're not going to overcommit anywhere on this team. They're going to stick to their guns. And that's the reason they're doing that, is because they want to win a lot of Super Bowls. And if you go all in and give up everything and go into salary cap hell to win one, then the Chiefs are messed up because you've mortgaged the future. The Chiefs are looking longer picture. We've got a window now, but we have a window as long as 15's with this team and he's happy. And that's the key, man. That's the key. So it might not look sexy yesterday beating the Jaguars by 8. But if I told you before the game was played and you never watched it, and I told you the Chiefs are going to win in Jacksonville by 8 points, would Chiefs Kingdom taking it?
100.
Hell yeah, they would have.
Percent, because you can't go past 100.
That's right. They would have absolutely taken an 8-point win. So why are we whining and bellyaching so much? Because the offense isn't what you're used to seeing, because we've been absolutely spoiled rotten. But the thing you got to look at is how great the defense has played. That's something that we haven't had for a very long time. Even when the Chiefs won 2 Super Bowls, they haven't had a defense that's looked this good. And they haven't played 2 patsies either, okay? So this is the reason that that game looks so ugly and people are complaining about it, I say it's glorious, all right? I don't, all I wanted my team to do is win. I'm sorry. I don't need style points. I don't. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I could have been working at the wellness center watching the game and thought about doing that yesterday. And I'm like, I'll just chill and watch the game. I'll enjoy it more. And honestly, I would have enjoyed it more watching at the wellness center, because it was not what I'm used to, right? Defense, punts, field goals, penalties, Chiefs offense struggling. But at the end of the day, the goal is to win the game. The Chiefs won a game. Let me repeat this. They gave up 84 yards in penalties. They turned the ball over 2 more times. The other team had the red zone, went 0-for-3 for touchdowns in the red zone. One time they had first and goal at the 1. Another time they had first and 10 at like the 15. And the Chiefs held them to 6 points in those 2 situations and gave up 9 total. The Jags didn't even get to 300 yards of offense in this game, and they are one of the better offenses. They've got Etienne, they got Ridley, they got Ingram, they got Kirk, they've got Trevor Lawrence. They've got weapons. And by the way, one thing you said earlier, Chiefs fans, well, we got to have a weapon for Mahomes. We got to have this guy. We got to have another receiver. We got to have another receiver. We got to get Jonathan Taylor in a trade. We need a running back. What's the point of getting Jonathan Taylor? We ain't going to run the ball enough anyway. That always cracks me up. I don't care what running back you bring in here. Andy Reid ain't going to start giving the ball to him. But you know what is a weapon? It is. The defense is a weapon. Tom Brady, there's no way he wins 7 Super Bowls without good defenses during a good portion of those. Go back and pull up the tape. Look at the last Super Bowl Tom Brady won was 13-3. Do you think Tom Brady's whining about winning a Super Bowl by 10 points? Do you think Bill Belichick is apologizing because they only scored 13 and won by 10 in the Super Bowl?
No.
No. It might not have been pretty, but guess who was hoisting Lombardi? And guess who's going to party just as much as anybody else if they win another Lombardi when the defense carries the weight? Kelce will still party and fight for his right to Lombardi. It's about winning. And the Chiefs won yesterday. And yet some Chiefs fans act like the sky is falling because the offense struggled so much. Do you truly, honestly, you've had 5 years of a litmus test. 5 years of Patrick Mahomes, the last 5 years. Has the offense struggled an entire year ever?
No.
Under Andy Reid or Alex Smith or Patrick Mahomes?
No.
The answer is no. So you have a track record. Why are you freaking out about it? Why are you so worried that they only scored 17 yesterday? Doesn't matter. They held them to 9. The Chiefs could have scored 10 yesterday. You still should be sitting here going, wow, this team could be special. What do you mean? The offense only did... Well, you've been complaining so much about the defense all these years, been bellyaching about how we need the defense to be good. Imagine Mahomes had a great defense, and now the Chiefs might have a great defense, and now you're bitching about we don't score enough points. You don't have to score a ton of points if you have a good defense. You don't. You really don't. And that's something Chiefs fans are going to have to get used to, and that might be a good thing.
Yeah. I'm with it.
I'm cool with it.
Nah,
man. The Chiefs like go out and win 20-17 every week. I'll take it.
You're in the game. It's aggravating, but when the scoreboard says zero, it's like that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was. It was a great win. I mean, if people sitting here acting like it was not a good win, that was a great win. That was a tremendous win against a very good football team that you might see again in the playoffs later this year.
Yep.
I mean, wow. 4th and 5. Another big play. Not even talked about. They get a sack.
Yeah.
I mean, when they needed plays, they made them all day long. All right, let's turn our attention to college football. KU, man, KU made it interesting. Never trailed in the game. They were a 28-point favorite against Nevada and barely won.
Two backs in the backfield. Give is to Neal. Hit behind the line. Sheds one tackler. Fights hard. He's in. Touchdown, Kansas. Could have been a loss of 2. Instead, it's a gain of 6 points.
KU wins. They never trailed, as I mentioned. They won 31-24. Every time Nevada tied the game, KU had an answer, which is impressive. That's something you take out of this game. And I warned people a little bit last week, although I don't know if I fully believed what I was saying at the time, is that KU, this is a dangerous game because it's their first road trip. It's an abnormal start time. You got to wait all day to play, stand around, sit around, whatever. You got to wait till 9:30 to play. And KU did look flat at times. There's no doubt about it. The offense in the first half was not good. Jalen Daniels was trying to do too much in the first half. He settled down the second half. They established the running game. Hyshaw had another good game. So did Devin Neal. Jalen Daniels, 21-27 for 298. KU's 3-0. Nevada's 0-3. And now KU has a big matchup against undefeated 3-0 BYU coming to Lawrence, coming up on Saturday pregame at 2 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake. That's going to be a great test for KU as BYU went to Arkansas, won 38-31. Lance Leipold, the thoughts on grinding out a win. And by the way, if there's KU fans whining about that win, have you not you must have just jumped on the wagon, because I believe a couple years ago, KU would have given their you-know-what for just one win.
Found a way. We found a way. We did not play our sharpest. We had too many penalties. But, you know, first of all, I need credit Coach Wilson and Nevada for coming ready to play and playing hard and playing downhill and physical all day long. We didn't always answer that. But at the same time, I'm proud of our team for persevering and finding a way.
Listen, this BYU game is going to tell us more about KU. I mean, the BYU game is, to me, a much bigger game than the Illinois game. Because, one, it's a conference game. But, two, BYU's legit. They're a solid team. Solid team. I watched them play some of this game against Arkansas. They can move the ball. KU's defense, I'm still wondering.
Mm-hmm.
They can move the ball. They got some good receivers. They got a decent quarterback. Now, their defense isn't great, but neither is KU. I think it'll probably be a shootout, would be my guess. I think 38-31 might be conservative going into this game coming up on Saturday. It should be a fun game to watch, and look forward to that one. And then so KU survived a scare. K-State was involved in a scare but didn't survive.
61-yard attempt from Harrison Mavis just to the right of the left hash. That'll hold to Luke Bauer with 3 seconds to play in regulation, tied at 27. Good snap, good place. Kick is up. It is... Yes! And a walk-off winner from 61! Harrison Mavis sends the Mizzou students running onto the turf.
Missouri picks up the walk-off win over number 15 K-State in Columbia on Saturday. Brady Cook, I mean, listen, we tried to warn you on this very show last week, and Chris Kleiman tried to warn everybody that Brady Cook is much better than what he showed last year under the wet conditions and rain and everything in Manhattan. Luther Burden III, you knew he was their big weapon, still hurt K-State quite a bit. Missouri led 17-14 and a half. K-State was up 24-17, up 24-20, had multiple chances to put the game away, couldn't score. Missouri takes the lead on a pass from Cook to Burden. K-State ties the game with 5:25 to go, and then the final 6 seconds, after a delay of game by Missouri, which is still just absolutely dumbfounding to me, pass was batted down, 3 seconds, so Harrison Meavis, he was going to kick a 56-yarder to win it. Instead, they move him back to 61. And I'm watching this with my youngest, who's a big K-State fan, and he goes something like, how was that? There's no way he's making this. I said, well, if the guy's hit 56 yarders in his career, I think with the adrenaline, he could definitely make a 61 yarder. My son goes, no, he's not. I said, I think he's going to make it. And I said, also, there's a chance for the block, though, because K-State, we know over the years, can block kicks. If he kicks it low, it could block it. Who knows? K-State might win on a punt block for a touchdown. And I don't know what Eli Drinkwitz was drinking. You have no timeouts. You get in field goal range. You chuck the ball. You spike it. And then they acted like they had a full timeout they had just called. I don't know what they were thinking.
Weird.
Nobody seemed to be scared about anything. All of a sudden on the TV, they show Kleiman going, whoa. Kleiman's like, hey. I mean, Kleiman's jumping up and down, going all over the place. And I'm like, what's Kleiman? You know, what's going on? And then I don't even see him out there, and the play clock's winding down. Like, oh, my God, the morons, they just took a five-yard penalty. And then you're like a 61-yarder. And then, to me, that's when you should have kicked it. Instead, they ran another play that got batted that could have been intercepted. I didn't think that was smart either. So they kick a 61-yarder, and Harrison Meavis bails out his coach, which he even admitted that after the game. And K-State loses on a 61-yard field goal. 30-27 is the final. Brady Cook threw for 356 yards and 3 touchdowns. Burden at 114 yards. Will Howard was banged up playing on one leg, but did well. 270 yards and 3 touchdowns. Ben Sennett had a couple of drops. One in particular. One was tough to catch, I thought, thrown behind him. Another one he should have caught. That was a key play. K-State just didn't make enough plays in this game. It's just kind of as simple as that. Here, let's hear from Chris Kleiman on the tough loss. K-State losing another one of those with Chris Kleiman in the non-con.
Give Coach Frank in Missouri a lot of credit. They made a few critical plays down the stretch. For us, it was a game of missed opportunities. You know, we probably missed some plays on offense that we'd like to have back. We struggled with the explosive play on defense, and we shut it down for a while, then it came back to bite us again. And you can't give up explosive plays. And I thought it was a really good football game. I knew it was going to be a good game. I think this is one of their better teams that they've had. And, you know, we got to learn from it, because these are what Big 12 games are going to be about.
So now K-State's got Central Florida coming in town. They're 3-0. So both KU and K-State play 3-0 teams at home coming up on Saturday. And that'll be a 7 o'clock kick there at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. Listen, I thought this was going to be a tough game, and I'd heard a lot of K-State people I talked to seem to be overlooking it, and that worried me. That really worried me, and so I'm not stunned or shocked that K-State lost the game, but I picked them to still win, and now we can, as Max, I'm sure, is probably listening, going, now you can put that 12-0 talk and put it in your back pocket and smoke a pipe and whatever else. And yeah, now I think, to me, it's you're 10-2, because I don't think you're running the table the rest of the way. So you're 10-2, and if you're 10-2 and you only have one conference loss, you're in the Big 12 title game. Your goals are still in front of you to win the conference and go to a major bowl game. And I guess the only thing that's gone is that if you thought this team could make college football playoff, that's history, because I don't think you can win out and still make it. But maybe, who knows? But I don't know. What jumped out to you? I mean, K-State had opportunities to win. I saw some people say, listen, Missouri deserved to win because we just didn't take advantage of our opportunities. And then I'd sit here and say, well, I don't know. Missouri deserved to win either, when they can't even realize that they might want to go out, kick a field goal, and delay a game. But anywho.
Here's my thing. You learn a lot about your team as the season goes on, right? I said a lot of things last week that people thought might be crazy, but I also had caveats to all those things, right?
Yes,
like
you
were asking me what the ceiling is if K-State goes in and dominates Missouri this weekend. What do you think it is? And I said, well, if they do that, then you can start thinking about 12-0.
And they didn't
do it, and they didn't have it done. I said early in the week, right after the win over Troy, where it was, you know, there were some pretty bad spots and they still won the game 42-13. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is a different team.
Yep.
Last year's team wasn't, Tulane's the example. They struggled in the game and didn't win it at home.
Right.
And so there was a lot of stuff there that I was bullish about K-State, and for good reason.
Absolutely.
Because of things that I had seen so far. I also said, people didn't think I said it, but I also said, got to be guarded after two games. I made the comment that this team might be better, or probably is better than last year's. And I think it's still, after week two, that was still the case.
I still think it is.
And I think probably still is. Missouri's a hell of a lot better than they were last year, and had a lot better conditions to play the game on Saturday than they did last year, like Coach Kleiman was talking about. The issue with this team that I didn't know was going to be there was very heavily exposed on Saturday, and that's the secondary. Mm-hmm. And there's a certain side of the secondary, mm-hmm. because Parrish and Siegel were in miscommunication basically all day. And I think Siegel was the one that was making the mistakes, but whatever it is, it's like you got to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. If Parrish is sending that guy to you, that's your guy now. Mm-hmm. And you can't crash down as a safety when that's the only guy mm-hmm. that you should be watching, because you're on this side of the field. Everybody else over on the other side, take care of that side. Take care of your own side. If he's sending them to you, you've got to cover them. Mm-hmm. And that was an issue on Saturday, no question. The biggest issue that I see with this team, obviously on defense after that game,
sure.
is secondary.
Yeah,
offense, there's still... You know, K-State had some drops. It felt like I was watching the Chiefs against the Lions there for just a little bit. You know, they had some drops. It was a little bit frustrating. They had a key delay game at one point, and it's just like some of these things that just push you back that you can't have happen in games like this. And am I like down on K-State now? No, absolutely not. Missouri played a heck of a game, and it was a game of, you know, I think both you and I expected this to be a battle. Yes. Mm-hmm. I picked K-State to maybe score late and win by 10, right? So obviously I thought this was not going to be just a pushover. And so you take it for what it's worth. And if you had those dreams like I did of being 12-0, if they would go in and dominate, then those are gone, obviously.
Right.
But like you said, I mean, everything's on the table right now. And, you know, technically, if you win out and win the Big 12 championship game,
yeah.
there's definitely still a chance this team could make the college playoff. It's not going to happen.
Right.
They're not going to win out. I'm very confident of that.
Yes.
But, you know, you go out there and you play and you learn from it and see what you figured out.
Absolutely. So K-State's 2-1.
I was stunned, though. Not stunned. I wasn't stunned, but in my mind, I'm watching this game, and I'm like, well, we're going to go to overtime. Put Phillip Brooks back there, and they did that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, in my mind, for some reason, my mind wasn't processing the fact that he could make this field goal.
See,
and the game's
for
over.
Me.
I'm just like, I was in it. I was in a weird spot. It was just like, mm-hmm. because I'd seen him miss the long one earlier, mm-hmm. and it was raining, and mm-hmm. it was wet, mm-hmm. and I'm like, nah, he's not going to make this.
I thought he was going to make it because of two reasons. One, I thought the adrenaline.
And
I was
and
like,
as long as it
didn't get blocked,
yeah.
I thought he was going to make it. And the other thing they said during the broadcast was that he is better longer distance than, like, if that was a 42-yarder, I think you might, it sounds crazy to say, but I think there's more of a chance he's going to miss that. That's just the way he is.
I see it every Sunday with Harry Butker.
Yeah,
so.
Harrison Butker, right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right, yeah. I get more nervous than
like
Butker.
38-yard field
yeah,
goal.
I was nervous
60.
About that.
Give me 60.
Yeah, I want him to kick a 55-yarder. Andy wouldn't let him do it. He kicks a 38-yarder, and I'm nervous. I'm more nervous about his extra points than I am his actual mm-hmm. field goals. But, yeah, it's just interesting how that all works. So K-State will have to bounce back. Big game. Hosting Central Florida Saturday night at 7 o'clock. KU a big game at home against BYU. 2 o'clock on Saturday with pregame. So the two very important games coming up for both the Jayhawks and the Wildcats. Now, you could feel sorry for K-State. You can say, oh, KU barely won, but it beats being Oklahoma State right now. Oklahoma State paid $300,000 to South Alabama to come play a football game at Stillwater, and Boone Pickens can't be happy. South Alabama beat Oklahoma State 33-7 in Stillwater. Suddenly that K-State at Oklahoma State game doesn't look as daunting, does it? But I still wouldn't. We've seen these weird things happen in college sports. You're like, there's no way we can lose to that team later in the year. And then something clicks, or they have a great day, or something bad happens. And, you know, so there's no gimmies in this league, I don't think. But that one looks like it based off of that performance. Ohio beat Iowa State 10-7. Iowa State made a field goal, but the refs called it no good. That was the difference in the game.
Mm-hmm.
How is that not reviewable to where they get that right? I don't understand.
It's wild.
Baylor beats Long Island 30-7. Oklahoma crushed Tulsa 67-17. I mentioned Central Florida all over Villanova 48-14. They come to Manhattan on Saturday. Texas Tech blew out Tarleton State 41-3. Cincinnati, the first loss. They lose at home in overtime to Miami, Ohio. West Virginia wins their rivalry against Pitt 17-6. BYU beat Arkansas, as I mentioned, 38-31. Texas had a flat performance, as we expected, but got through 31-10. It was 10-10 going into the fourth quarter against Wyoming. TCU rolled Houston 36-13. And as I mentioned, KU with a win as well. That was the Big 12. New top 25 poll. Georgia's number one. Michigan two. Texas moves up to three. Florida State falls from three to four. USC's five. And Alabama, noteworthy here, they go from 10 to 13 after the non-impressive win where they have a quarterback issue. No doubt about that. As they won at South Florida 17-3. It's the first time since, what is it, 05? A long time since Alabama's not been in the top 10. That's crazy. It hasn't happened since Saban, I think, since he's taken over or got things reestablished. K-State falls out of top 25. They got 54 votes. Missouri got 72 votes right ahead of K-State. KU getting 15 votes when it comes to all of that. So take that for a grain of salt. Nebraska gets their first win of the year and the first win under Matt Rhule, as they win 35-11 over Northern Illinois. Husker defense held the Huskies out of the end zone until the last 4 seconds of the game. The game of the week was pretty exciting. In Boulder, Colorado, 18th-ranked Colorado escaped with a 43-35 win in double overtime over in-state rival Colorado State. Buffs are 3-0. Outside of K-State, the only top 25 team to lose is number 11, Tennessee, losing at Florida 29-16. On the Colorado State game, I heard so many people talking about, oh, yeah, well, you know, after that emotional win over TCU, Colorado's got to be prepared for a letdown against Nebraska. And I said on this very show, I said the letdown game is not Nebraska, it's Colorado State. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was. And Colorado did not play well. Colorado State really deserved to win the game, except they had 17 penalties for 180 yards and still should have won the game. But can somebody help me with the coaching? Okay, so even Deion Sanders isn't perfect. I know a lot of people out there think he's perfect right now, but I love a lot of what Deion says. He had a 60 Minutes interview that was aired last night. I didn't get to see the whole thing. I saw a snippet or two, and I thought he had a really good cut about how you got to be honest, and people nowadays, all they do is lie and don't even know when the truth is, even if it hits them in the face. I mean, Deion had a great point. He's like, I thought that was great. Because he goes, you know, you get in a life, you got to deal with this. So the truth hurts, basically. But in this game, it goes to overtime, and Colorado chooses the end zone instead of playing defense.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if Deion didn't realize the rules of college football. That was odd. So Deion is putting himself in a tough spot there. So then Colorado State has a chance then in the first overtime to go for two and win the game. And Jay Norvell lets Deion off the hook. Kicks the extra point.
Yes.
What are you doing? You're a 28-point dog against your in-state rival. You have one play to win the game. And if somebody told you before the game you had one play to win the game, wouldn't you have taken it?
Yes.
What the hell was he thinking? You kick the extra point. So now you get the ball first. So now you don't control what happens at the end when Colorado has the ball, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
No, because Colorado got the ball to start the second one because Colorado State had the choice in the second one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, they
Colorado
changed
had
that.
The
that's
ball
right.
to start both
right.
overtime
right.
periods.
That's because
I was confused.
Right.
I was confused and
right.
didn't even see that until
that's
later
right.
that they
yeah.
chose defense.
That's right.
They chose the end of the field instead of defense
right.
or offense.
Yeah, so Colorado State's like, okay, great. We got to be, because usually it rotates, obviously. That's mm-hmm. why I'm thinking that. So Colorado did the unorthodox thing of taking the ball first, basically. Then Colorado State, then when they had their choice, said, well, yeah, we'll just stick with the defensive side. Now, of course, they didn't end up scoring a touchdown. They lose 43-35. Colorado went for two in the second overtime, which was smart, I thought. But if Jay Norvell goes for the extra point, or not the extra point, if he goes for two at the end of the first overtime and wins, Deion Sanders has got to face some tough questions.
Yes.
But Norvell let him off the hook.
Yeah.
Both coaches made a gigantic strategic error in overtime.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And Deion right now is, everything's glowing on him, so it doesn't blow up in his face. Him and Eli Drinkowitz really need to have a drink together and really thank their players for bailing them out.
Yeah, for sure. I was watching the game with my sister at whatever time it was, 1:10 at that time, I think, in the morning.
It was late.
And the Colorado State, the moment they got into the end zone, I'm like, two.
Yeah, absolutely. That's automatic.
Two. I said, you're on the road. You're a huge underdog. You have nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. It's your in-state
house,
rival.
All
you're on the road.
Money. On the road against your in-state rival, you have a chance to win this game.
Yes.
Two. Yes. Two. I'm sitting here. I'm two. Go for two.
Yes.
And then I see the kicker come out. I'm like, what
are you doing?
Yes. Go for two.
Yes.
This game is over no matter what at that point.
Right.
But go for two.
Yes.
You're not going to the college football playoff. This has nothing to do with the Mountain West Conference standings. Go for two. What
right.
are you doing?
Right.
And I didn't, like I said, I didn't know until later what the situation was with the who had the ball first in overtime and stuff right. like that. So I wasn't, you know, up in arms about that part of it until I saw that. That was an interesting decision. But, yeah, it's so easy.
Like, how do you not go for two there is astounding to me. But I don't know. Maybe he thought the fact that they would get the ball second in the second overtime because of Deion's mistake, maybe that changed his thinking. Because yeah. usually in that situation, you would get the ball first, next one. Maybe that's what threw him off. I don't know, man. That was a missed opportunity. MIAA, let's see. I pull that up. Fort Hays State with a huge win in MIAA. As they win, Fort Hays State won over Northwest Missouri 17-6. First time they meet Northwest Missouri in Hays since 1968.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. Pitt State got lucky. Central Missouri went for two to win the game. They went for two. Pitt State stopped them, 38-37 the final. They stay undefeated. Washburn wins over Lincoln, 24-10. And Nebraska Kearney lost to Missouri Southern, 18-13. And Emporia State shut out Northeastern State, 38-0. So let's look at the MIAA. Back to the National Football League for a moment before we close with the great crescendo, which is the Royals. Other games yesterday, the Packers had a 12-point lead in the fourth quarter and blew it. Falcons win 25-24. Falcons are 2-0. Bills blow out the Raiders 38-10. Bengals are 0-2, and I got a whole bunch of Chiefs fans basking in the glory of the Bengals being 0-2. And I try to remind them, you know what the Bengals did last year after two games? They were 0-2. How'd that end? We needed a personal foul shoving our quarterback out of bounds and a punt return of Sky Moore to beat them. It's not how you start, man.
No.
They're 0-2, though. They lose to the Ravens. Ravens are 2-0. Just a matter of time before Lamar gets hurt and wrecks their season. The Seahawks win at the Lions 37-31. Tyler Lockett, former K-Stater, with a game-winning touchdown catch. The Colts win 31-20 at the Texans. Anthony Richardson, rookie, looked good and then had a concussion. We told you the Chiefs beat the Jaguars 17-9, but apparently as some Chiefs fans, they have to give the win back because they didn't score enough. Bears lose at the Buccaneers 27-17. Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield's red hot. Buccaneers are 2-0. Who needs Tom Brady? Titans beat the Chargers 27-24 because the Chargers like to charge. No Austin Eckler. Titan win 27-24. Chargers are 0-2. Sure glad those people that keep picking the Chargers to win every year continue to be buffoons.
Keep doing it, though. I'm fine with
it. I love it. I love it. Keep repeating the same mistake over and over. Giants beat the Cardinals 31-28. The Giants are down 21-0. Giants finally woke up. And, of course, Daniel Jones was on my bench. He didn't do anything first half. Niners win at the Rams 30-23. A quick note about this one. Is that Puka Nacua, I don't even know where he's from, finished with 15 catches, 147 yards for the Rams. First week, 10 catches, 119 yards. Through two games, Nacua has 25 catches for 266. It's the most catches by any wide receiver after his first two career games in NFL history.
That's impressive.
That's impressive. And he's getting all the balls that Cooper Kupp would get, apparently.
Uh-huh.
And I put in a claim to get the guy in my league, and somebody beat me to it. Cowboys rocked the Jets 30-10. That was easy to predict. Zach Wilson's not a good quarterback. The Commanders, well, the Broncos. I feel so sorry for the Broncos. I don't! Broncos were up big, and the Commanders came back and win. The Broncos had a Hail Mary. The Commanders, when you have Hail Marys, it should never be completed, okay? But it should never be completed on a tip ball. But what you have is selfish players sometimes thinking they're going to get a pick for their stats. And that looked totally what happened yesterday with the Commanders. Like, well, we're up eight, and they were trying to pick it off. And they batted, I think, twice.
Yeah.
And it was caught. And they're lucky that Russell Wilson didn't complete the pass to force overtime on the two-point try. Broncos are 0-2. It's a shame. Dolphins 24-17 winners of the Patriots. Patriots are 0-2. Did you see the crazy play to end that game?
Yeah.
That was awesome, except I wanted it to be a first down. And I'm not a big Patriot fan, but I kind of was like, yeah, you know, Dolphins start 1-1. That'd be better for the Chiefs. I'm always thinking about the Chiefs' best interest.
Mm-hmm.
So that game was crazy because they send a guy in motion on special teams to go block a field goal, and it worked perfectly. And I'm like, why hasn't anybody done this before? They did it again later, and Jason Sanders, the Dolphins, missed a 55-yard field goal, and he looked like he was distracted because of that guy. So now Chris Collinsworth says, well, you're going to see a lot of people do this going into the future. And I was thinking the same thing. And then when you actually stop and think about it, that's really easy to negate it. You just do a longer count. You do a longer snap count. Okay, or you try to draw him offsides, and that guy will come flying across. So there's a way to combat it. But I have to admit, of all the years I've watched football at every level, I've never seen a team do what the Patriots did. And it was genius, and it worked not once, but I think twice.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the game, Patriots are down by 7. And they throw the ball to their tight end, a former Dolphin. He realizes he's a yard shy, short of the first down. It's a fourth and four play. So he wisely, alertly, it's like, dude, I'm done if I get tackled. I at least got to flip it backwards. So he does. Offensive lineman jumps sky high, catches it with one hand, brings it back down, and then gets shoved from behind to try to get the first down. I thought he had it initially. They show the replay, and his knee and his forearm are down half a yard shy of the first down. So the game ends on the review, overturning a first down, and the Dolphins win the game. Mm-hmm. Like, man, for such a heads-up play by the Gesicki kid, I really was hoping that that would have been a first down to create more drama. But unfortunately, the NFL stands for the No Fun League. I'm exaggerating a little bit there. Tonight, we got two Monday night games. I have no idea why. Saints at the Panthers at 6:15. That's usually week one when they do that.
Yeah, it was weird.
Weird. And the Browns are at the Steelers. The Browns 1-0. The Steelers 0-1. That should be a dogfight on ESPN. That's on ABC. The Saints-Panthers on ESPN. So primetime regular network channel for football there. And in regards to our fantasy football league, Cody, you're dead to me. Cody, good friend of mine, now dead to me. He's kicking my butt in fantasy football. I kind of had a feeling that was going to happen. Even if I started the right quarterback, it would not have mattered. So I'm getting rolled. Not surprised. Dusty is just like me. He has a 1% chance of winning.
I had definitely a way better week, but man.
Oh, I'm dude, you played the wrong guy. Dear God, I won't even say the name of the team here, but, well, yeah, I can. Farting, whatever. But anyway, he had Anthony Richardson, T. Higgins, Devontae Smith, Christian McCaffrey, the running back for the Bills, the Cook kid, and then Keenan Allen had 28 points. He just had a gigantic week. You're playing the wrong team.
Yeah.
My youngest is got a 2% chance of winning, so he has twice his chance of winning as I do going into tonight. And, by the way, Dusty's worst nightmare, ooh, he has a chance to win. He wasn't looking good until last night. And then my oldest son, he has a 26. No, he has. He's got a chance to win. So my youngest will be 0-2. Dusty will be 0-2. My son and I will be 1-1. I'm really more worried about that competition. Is Dusty, me, and my boys. But congratulations, Cody, on kicking my team's butt. You earned it.
Yeah.
Still going to use that auto pick thing as an excuse for me. The Astros beat the Royals 7-1 yesterday at Kauffman Stadium to avoid a 3-game sweep. Let me repeat that. It was the Astros avoiding the 3-game sweep. Jordan Lyles, 4-17 on the year. That's what $8 million buys you. 4 runs in 6 innings. It was okay. Royals are 48-102. They have a game and a half lead over the A's to avoid being the worst team in baseball. I say if you're going to go that far, just be the worst. But anywho, they start a 3-game series with the Guardians at 1:10 this afternoon. There should be tons of people there on a school day on a Monday afternoon. If I lived nearby, I still probably would go and get some really, really cheap tickets and go sit wherever I want. But at the same time, it's like we're going to watch two losing teams play baseball.
Two not great baseball teams right now.
Yeah, so there you go. It's a long Monday overreaction for some. We call it a reaction here on the show. But Chiefs fans, I'm telling you, that was a great win yesterday. Sometimes you're just going to have to realize, stop, and say, I need to enjoy this more. Because before you know it, 7, 8, 9, 10 years from now, or maybe sooner, there will be no 15 at quarterback. There'll be no Andy Reid as coach. And you're going to be sitting here begging to win games 17-9.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.